2. Development, multi-units. The strategy of development is where council approval is obtained to change the use of a property, typically taking it to a higher, more intensive use. It may be to change it from a single dwelling house into a multi-unit or townhouse site, or from a vacant block to an industrial shed complex, commercial offices, or a retirement village, just to name a few. The process is very similar regardless of the end product. Hence, a multi-unit townhouse strategy will be the example used here. Once you have located a property, the process is to get development approval, building approval, undertaking construction, and then titling. As with subdivision, the process of development approval for multi-units will vary slightly depending on the size of the project. It will also vary somewhat between different councils, so modify the checklist below according to the specific terminology and process used for your council. The real deal development example that is going to be used throughout the checklist is a 3-townhouse project. It highlights many of the issues raised below. It covers all of the required stages and will give you a great real-life snapshot of doing a townhouse development deal. Step 1. Location research. Identify locations of interest based on your personal circumstances. Detail your personal circumstances, including what is your available equity, borrowing capacity, and serviceability? What is your time availability? How far are you prepared to travel? Is your strategy to hold or sell? What is your level of experience? What is your risk profile? Based on your personal circumstances, determine what type of region you are targeting, including mining and resource areas, regional areas, metro areas. Review on a map and list all the locations that meet your personal circumstances and region type. For example, regional area with a distance that you are prepared to travel to, within your risk profile, at a price point that meets your budget, etc. Narrow this down to the top 5 locations of interest that meet your criteria. Research locations of interest and shortlist 3 target locations. For each of the 5 locations above, research their specific characteristics, including population size, infrastructure spending, supply and demand, rental vacancy rate, council's attitude to development. Based on the above research, shortlist the top 3 target locations that meet your personal circumstances. These might be 3 suburbs or 3 regional towns. For each of your 3 target locations, research the population growth, demographics, and forward projections, and educate yourself about the area and the real estate industry in general. Set up a spreadsheet with area information for easy reference, including maps, research results, research sources, contact details, etc. Step 2. Strategy research and mapping. Strategy research. For each of your 3 target locations, educate yourself on what the market wants, where it wants it, why, and how it fits your chosen strategy, for example, multi-unit development. Research and visit other multi-unit developments in those locations. Learn from them and record the characteristics and features, prices, marketing strategies, marketing material, consultants involved, etc. For each of the target locations, consult, in person or over the phone, with local town planners to determine the specific site requirements that need to be complied with for your chosen strategy, including what is the zoning requirement to do multi-units? What is the minimum land size requirement? What is the formula for calculating the density of units available? What is the minimum block frontage width requirement? What is the impact of site slope? What is the site cover requirement? What are the car parking requirements, private open space, and setback requirements? Mapping. Obtain council zoning maps from the regional authorities. Identify the location of the zones you are interested in and highlight them on the map. Research and identify areas where the zonings have changed. For example, old inner city areas with single houses that were previously zoned for single housing and now rezoned for multiple dwellings. Research the infrastructure, amenities, schools, transport, etc. of relevance and highlight them on your map. Research changes in infrastructure, plan for the future, and depict on the map. Grid variance analysis. Research the price ranges, low, medium, and high, of your areas of interest so you can make comparisons. do grid variance analysis on the list of areas that meet your zoning and locational requirements. Use this tool to narrow down your list to three target areas with the highest variance between the low and the mid of the market. Search and data facilities. PD Online, Google, Google Maps, Google Earth. Real estate websites, regional councils, newspapers and real estate brochures. Real estate agents, talking with locals. Step 3, street and property-focused research. Street-focused research. Within each of the three target areas, drill down to the street level and identify target streets that better meet your criteria and highlight on your map. Highlight the streets in the target area that you want to avoid, for example, flood-prone, steep, etc. Become an area expert. Property-focused research, deal finding. In your desired streets, drill down to an individual property level to identify those properties that are worthy of property-specific due diligence. Use the various tools for finding individual properties of interest, including property websites, for example, realestate.com.au, Investar, Domain, Gumtree, etc. Real estate agents and buyer's agents. Talking to locals. Letterbox drops. Door knocking. Step 4. Property due diligence. Strategy due diligence. Undertake detailed due diligence on the individual properties of interest to confirm their development potential, including potential opportunities and constraints such as land size, zoning and how it affects required land size, block frontage width, slope, services location including sewer main, water main, stormwater, power, phone lines, gas, position of the existing dwelling and other built structures and how this affects the development potential, capacity to move or demolish existing built structures, site cover of the existing dwelling if intending to retain, height restrictions for new build, research environmental constraints including council overlays, flooding, waterways, overland flow, native vegetation protection, bushfire prone, koala habitat, slip prone, acid sulfate soil, cultural heritage, demolition control and slope. Research site-specific constraints including significant trees, soil types, swelling and cracking clays, rock, contaminated site, easements, sewer, power, access ways, encroachments, survey the site, covenants, caveat or other encumbrances, notation on registered survey plan, neighbour disputes, council show cause notices, heritage listed buildings, above ground infrastructure at the front of the property, for example power lines, power poles, road signs, general signage, bus stops, traffic lights, roundabouts, fire hydrants, public mailboxes, car parks, parking meters and substations, underground infrastructure, manholes, disused septic tanks, buried water tanks and Telstra pits, capacity of services, electricity, sewer, water, stormwater and the need to upgrade for your strategy, shared services between neighbouring properties, for example combined sewer drain, adjoining properties and structures next to the boundary, zero lot alignment, windows, doors, balconies, verandas, private open space location, heights above two-storey, higher density units, apartments, commercial, etc. Road hierarchy, class of the road, street and who manages it, visibility, access restrictions, capacity for bins out front, current plans and future plans re-resumption, plan changes re-traffic flow, intensity of traffic, on-street parking, changes to surrounding streets that may impact on yours. Noise pollution, road, flight path, industry, birds and bats, etc. Oil pollution, road and industry. Subsidence, underground mining and earthworks. Cyclone rating requirements for new build. Body corp review, if a body corp exists. Earthquake, tsunami, sea level rise and the crime rate. Note that some of the site-specific constraints may not be fully researched until later in your due diligence, once you know there is potential profit in the deal and that you are wanting to put a contract on it. At that point, while the contract is in the conditional phase, may be the time that you do more thorough research on some of these less obvious constraints. use the various tools for researching individual properties, including Council and Council website, PD Online, RP Data and PDS Live, Investar, the Internet, Town Planners, Locals and Neighbours, Surveyor and Engineer. General Property Due Diligence. The general property due diligence items below should be researched in the early stages of reviewing target properties. They may need to be revisited and further researched in greater detail during the conditional period of the contract, especially if you plan to keep any of the existing structures or relocate them to another property. Illegal building works on site, structure not council approved, structures not built to the Australian Building Code, including built form, smoke alarms, safety switches, pool safety. Usage of structures not council approved, for example, converted garage, multiple incomes, granny flat. Renovation works not council approved, not done to the building code or not done by appropriately licensed or qualified persons. Condition of existing property, termite damage, dry rot, concrete cancer, rising damp, asbestos, cracking walls and foundation. Step 5, your A team. The initial team, building and pest inspector, soil tester, lawyer that specialises in development, money lender or broker, town planner, building designer or architect, civil engineer, geotechnical engineer, structural engineer and hydraulic engineer. Specialist consultants, for example, traffic, arborist, ecologist, heritage, cultural heritage, acoustic, bushfire. Land surveyor, landscape architect, builder, real estate agent, purchasing agent, sales agent, marketers if you are planning to sell, property manager if you are planning to rent or sell to an investor, and evaluator. The subsequent team. Specialist engineers, for example, electrical, mechanical, acoustic, traffic, environmental. Building certifier. Energy efficiency consultant. Project development manager, depending on the size of the project. Plumber and electrician to disconnect services. Demolition contractor. Asbestos removal contractor if asbestos is present. Tree lopper. Quantity surveyor for construction works on larger developments. Interior designer. Colour consultant, graphic artist, advertising agency, body corporate manager, quantity surveyor, body corp sinking fund forecast and insurance forecast, insurance broker, staging consultant, depreciation specialist or a quantity surveyor if renting the end product or selling to an investor. The individuals. Look for individuals that specialise in real estate development. Ask for references or examples of their works and their clients. Ask for a schedule of their fees and charges. Discuss the range of services that you will require from each individual. Ensure that professionals are members of professional associations where relevant, for example, the Building Association, Institute of Engineers, Law Society, Institute of Quantity Surveyors, etc. Ensure professionals are completely familiar with local and state regulations. Ensure all professionals have the necessary insurance and certification and request copies to ensure they are current over the duration of your project. Ensure that they are in touch with the latest laws, innovations and developments within the industry. Ask what sub-consultants and contractors they use. Ensure the individuals on your A-team understand your time constraints. Check on the progress of individuals to keep them on target. Step 6. Initial deal review and concept design. Initial deal review. For each of the target sites that comply with your strategy and for which your due diligence looks favourable, calculate the potential number of dwellings able to be developed and the number of bedrooms in each, if that is part of the density calculation in your council. Also, if any need to be disabled, accessible. Number of new dwellings factoring in the option of keeping the existing dwelling. Site cover allowance and what that equates to per dwelling. Number of car parks required, including visitor car parks. Maximum height allowance and what that means for the site layout, for example, single storey, two storey or multi-storey. Private open space requirements and building setback requirement. Configuration options, including units, townhouses, detached dwellings, etc. Concept design. Do rough concept sketches, hand-drawn or digital, to determine the potential layout options for the development design. depict the options regarding driveway access, layout and configuration of the dwellings, position of private open space, position of building structures being retained, location of services and site features that will impact on the design layout, for example, sewer main easement, significant trees, etc. Town planner and building designer architect to review the proposed design options to ensure compliant with council regulations and design alternative options if required. Specialist consultants liaised with as required, for example, the civil engineer and the surveyor. Step 7, feasibility analysis. Initial rough feasibility. Research the cost to purchase the property. Research the cost to complete the strategy. Research the market value of the end product, rental and sale. Research the demand for the end product, rental and sale. Research the various exit strategies. Research and create a realistic timeline of the entire project, including approvals phase, financing phase, construction phase, sales phase, etc. Complete rough feasibilities on the various options to do the deal and the various exit strategies. Complete due diligence on your capacity to finance the various strategies. For those properties where your initial due diligence and rough feasibility looks promising, undertake a detailed feasibility. If you are having trouble getting your rough feasibilities to stack up, consider completing reverse engineered feasibilities on similar completed projects in your area to better understand the numbers and what they need to be to make a deal profitable. Detailed feasibility. Prepare numerous feasibility studies with varying options prior to committing to purchase a deal. Always enter full amounts in costings, not potential discounted prices. Calculate legal fees and establishment cost as well as any duties or taxes. Calculate expected sales income and balance it against the expected return. Does it meet a profit or cost target of 20%? This is your target for viability for a three-dwelling development or larger. For a smaller development, the profit on cost is likely to be less due to economy of scale. You have to determine what profit you are prepared to accept for the cost, time, risk, and management required. Visit other development sites and analyse their data. Unit price, rent, location, buyer profile, etc. Talk to real estate agents about developments in your area. Make timelines realistic. Allow for inclement weather, financing delay, building delay, delay in sales, and unforeseen holdups. Estimate timeframes for how long it will take to gain any returns. If your feasibility studies show that your project is not financially viable, review the costings with your consultants, builder and sales agents. If it is still not viable, do not proceed. Assess what the council planning regulations and constraints may be. Assess what the building, civil engineering and services requirements and constraints may be. Continually update and review your detailed feasibility as your costs are updated with each new quote and as more information comes to light. Assess the tax implications of your project, for example GST, capital gains tax, income tax and land tax, purchasing, finance fees and charges, and hold costs, property purchase cost, due diligence costs, building and pest, soil reports, specialist reports, conveyancing and title search fees, stamp duty, this varies from state to state, legal fees and miscellaneous legal fees, company establishment fees, buyer's agent's fee or commission if applicable, council rates and local authority fees or adjustments, valuation or appraisal fees by the lender, accountancy fees, interest on finance, insurances, property management fees if tenanted, and general site maintenance, for example, mowing and repairs, approvals, development, titling, and sales costs, application and lodgement fees, council development approval, operational works, building approval, and service providers, consultant fees, town planner, building designer, architect, engineers, landscape architect, building certifier, quantity surveyor, specialist consultants and reports. Site survey. Demolition, disconnection of services and site clearing. Construction, including building construction, services upgrade and installation, driveway and parking, drainage works, retaining, landscaping, fencing, etc. External road works levies. Upgrade to services fees. monthly consultant and construction progress payments. Project development management fee. This is usually paid to you, the developer, if not outsourcing management. Council headworks contribution fees per unit. Final surveying. Body corporate setup and community management statement preparation. Body corporate sinking fund and insurance reports. Body corporate building insurance on completion. Titling costs, including plan ceiling fees. Advertising and marketing costs. Staging fee. Legal fees on the sale of the units. Sales commissions. Maintenance upon completion, for example, watering, mowing. Annual council rates. Land taxes, and these can vary from state to state. Insurance to cover the entire development during and after construction. Sundry costs. Allow extra for any additional costs that you may incur. Step 8. Choosing your site. Choosing your site. Shortlist your preferred sites in order of preference. Enter negotiations on each as per step 9 below. Ensure ownership structure is set up. Ensure the ownership structure is set up and that it is suitable for the structure of the deal you are proposing, considering the financing, exit strategies, asset protection, and the tax implications. Types of structures include company, company discretionary trust, company unit trust, and a company hybrid trust. Step 9. Negotiating and settling on the property purchase. Initial stage of acquisition. Decide if you will negotiate the purchase or if you will use a buyer's agent. Approach each owner and ask relevant questions and listen. Go away and prepare a purchase contract if successful. Consider all information and determine a fair offer. Negotiating the property purchase. Prepare the contract for the purchase of the property. Sign the deal there and then if you have made a decision. Ensure your contract is conditional and includes an opt-out clause just in case. Be specific about the terms and make sure they are to your advantage. Make sure that all of the sellers are present when negotiating to sign. Ensure that on the contract all names and addresses are spelt correctly, that all property details are correct, and that you understand all conditions and clauses. Include a special condition clause in the contract for the seller to sign development applications. Negotiate directly with the owner of the property wherever possible, and confirm all instructions and negotiations in writing. Process upon acceptance of offer. On signing a contract, ensure that you organise a cover note for public liability insurance on the site if it is land only, or take out building and public liability insurance if it is a house and land. Consider if contents insurance is also required, for example, a furnished property or property with a body corporate. Deposit is paid to deposit holder and held in trust account. The original contract goes to you, the purchaser. Copy of the contract sent to the seller's lawyer. Ensure contracts have been sent to all the parties involved. Take action on contract conditions and note condition due dates in a diary and comply with them accordingly. Advise your finance broker or financier of the signed contract. Provide them a copy and instruct to progress with finance approval. Keep vendor or vendor's agent informed regularly. Conditional phase. Instruct solicitor to carry out all searches, including easements, covenants, caveats and other encumbrances, etc. Meet on site with key consultants to finalise due diligence. Carry out required inspections, tests and reports. For example, build and pest, soil test, site survey, specialist reports like traffic, flood, etc. Coordinate finance approval and obtain quotes for all works required. Unconditional phase. Continue to obtain quotes for all works required. Engage consultants, contractors, etc. Consult progress designs and reports. Conduct specialist assessments and reports. Lodge approval applications. Settlement phase. Liaise with the finance broker, financier, to ensure that they are prepared for a settlement. Inspect the property a day or two prior to settlement to ensure it is in the condition that you expect it to be, based on the contract. Make sure your lawyer does a final land title search the day prior to settlement. If the property is tenanted, consider if landlord-tenant protection insurance is warranted, and if so, take it out. If tenanted, liaise with the property manager prior to settlement to ensure you will be noted as the new owner and that they have your current account details for rent payment. have electricity account changed to your name if vacant possession on settlement. Step 10. Finance. Securing finance. Determine your personal finance capability. Make a preliminary finance application. Look for a lender or broker that specialises in real estate development. Ensure that you deal with the lender broker that understands your needs. Ensure that contracts are subject to finance and DA approval if you can negotiate it. Determine interest rates, charges and fees and negotiate the terms. Lodge your application with a commercial finance broker or department. Where possible, and if it suits your strategy and lending capacity, get finance for the entire development project, not just the initial property purchase. Make sure that you include all the relevant documentation in your application. Advise your finance broker institution that the property is under contract and subject to finance and potentially other conditions. Provide them with a copy of the contract. Complete a finance application submission and present it to the broker. What to include in your application for finance? An introduction, financial proposal or commitment, site information, mapping, description, zoning, surveyor's plan of the site, preliminary design or plans and submission information, environmental factors report, traffic flow, landscaping, land usage, etc. Development application letter, building quotes or contracts, concept design description and an architect's or designer's perspective drawings, demographic and target market for sales. Complete financial analysis of costs, expenses and projected profits. Cash flow analysis. Timeline of workflow. Conclusion. And double check that all the figures are correct. Risk assessment. Supply a report of your development experience, financial history, assets and cash flow. Get a copy of your credit report from a credit reporting body like VIDA and make sure it is correct. If there are any issues with your credit rating, ensure that they are cleared up prior to applying for finance. Offer the development land as your security, but be wary of cross-securitisation with other property you own. Finance approval. Read and make sure you understand your loan documents and fees. Instruct your lawyer to perform title searches on the day of settlement. Arrange a time and date for your lender to present your check. Instruct engineer and consultants to commence work. Ask for written confirmation. Approval may be granted on the condition that a percentage of dwellings are sold in pre-sales prior to granting further development finance. Step 11. Detailed design and mapping. Mapping. Enlist a land surveyor to establish the boundaries of your land purchases. The land surveyor will map out the development site when approval is granted. Land surveyor will resurvey boundaries and confirm on plans and pre-sales contracts. Initial design. Base your initial design on the preferred concept plans prepared during your due diligence phase. Select an architect or building designer to design your proposed development, for example, units, townhouses, etc. Where your development application is required to be publicly advertised or where the immediate neighbours are notified, liaise with the immediate neighbours during the design phase to resolve any potential issues and incorporate solutions into the initial design. Prepare designs and documentation to lodge a development application for the initial design. Detailed design. Prepare civil and hydraulic engineer plans including stormwater drainage, water management, erosion and sediment control plan, retaining design, etc. to lodge with the development application or operational works approval. Develop the detailed design and construction drawings for building approval involving the architect, building designer, structural, civil, and hydraulics engineers. Depending on the size of the development, a quantity surveyor may establish a budget and timeline for the development. Selecting an architect, building designer. Make sure that they are a member of your state's Institute of Architects or Building Designer Association. Meet and discuss your project. Discuss the range of services you require, and if you do not understand the services, ask for an explanation. Ask for the fees that you are likely to have to pay and for a quote once the project parameters have been determined. Make sure you feel comfortable with the architect or building designer and that you get the response you want. Ask to look at examples of projects that they have done and speak to former clients. Ask if they are using the same or similar design to your project in other projects because you don't want to find yourself on the market selling a project where there is one almost identical down the road or even in the next few suburbs. Meeting with the architect, building designer, what you will need to take along. Description of the site, dimensions of the site, some photographs to indicate the lay of the land, a design brief which includes information about the number of units and or the number of bedrooms per unit and or gross floor area able to be developed, covenants and easements, utilities access, water, electricity, gas, optical cable, design features and landscaping, site survey plan, examples of any designs or concepts that you like. An architect can assist you with the financial analysis and feasibility of a project, help to select a suitable site, plan your budget, prepare the project schedule for building, design and plan your development, organise soil tests, obtain necessary building and local authority approvals, prepare working documents for building construction, lodge plans for building approval, help you to select a builder and call for tenders, help to negotiate a contract with your builder, contract administration throughout the construction process, follow up and attend authority meetings and deal with issues, make site visits and supervise the construction process, advise on maintenance and warranties after completion of the project, monitor progress payments and variations to the contract, certify builders' claims less retention amounts and compile defects lists, issue the final building certificate and release of the retention of funds. Your checklist when using an architect. Ensure that the architect is a member of their Institute of Architects. Double-check the plans and specifications, ensuring that you understand them all. Check inclusions of features and extras on the plan and specifications. Check DA application documents. Check all quotes and costs of the development and continually update the feasibility analysis. Clarify what the architect is responsible for on the project and what they are not responsible for. Check all contracts, their signing, contract price and terms. A civil engineer can design documents relating to driveway, car parking and footpath design, vehicle turning circles, erosion and sediment control, retaining, cut and fill, stormwater management, drainage, layout of power supply, etc. Obtain the necessary authority approvals. Prepare specifications, schedules, quantities and estimates. Complete the as-constructed set of drawings. Carry out all instruction supervision and report to the client. Provide estimates of the project costs and supervise construction of their specifications. A hydraulic engineer can design documents relating to water and waste management, including sewer drainage, gravitational drainage, pumps, vacuum systems, trade waste drainage and treatment plants, stormwater drainage, rainwater downpipes and gutters. Draw service to scale on design documentation. Obtain the necessary authority approvals. Prepare specifications, schedules, quantities and estimates. Complete the as-constructed set of drawings. Carry out all instruction supervision and report to the client. Provide estimates of the project's cost and supervise construction of the specifications. A quantity surveyor can advise client of budgets and costings in the larger projects, prepare a bill of quantities for tax purposes, review approvals, contracts and quotes on behalf of commercial financiers, act on commercial financiers' behalf to inspect building works and approve progress payments. Step 12. Selecting a builder. Builder selection. Get to know builders in your area and find out their per square metre rate and what it includes. Your architect, building designer, may offer you some recommendations. Check the builder's licenses and history to ensure they are qualified to build what you are proposing and that their history is clear and there are no disputes. Make sure you feel comfortable with the builder and that you get the response you want and that they respond in a timely manner to your requests. Ask to look at examples of constructions that they have completed recently and also older projects to assess their workmanship quality over time. Speak to former clients of the builder. Determine the builder's workload to ensure they can give attention to your project. Request the builder's build time frame for your project and potential start date. Confirm who will be supervising the on-site works, who are the main tradies, contractors, and how long they have worked with the builder. Ask if they are building or have built the same or similar design to your project in other projects. Get builders to price DA plans. Get the builder's advice on the plans to offer cost-saving initiatives. Get a final fixed price quote and time contract from the builder. Builder's checklist. Get a fixed price from the builder based on the working drawings. Ensure all contracts are signed and prices clearly specified, and that you understand all contract conditions and clauses. Builder attends to the defects list. Builder will ensure that all rubbish is removed from the site upon completion. Builder hands over all guarantees, warranties, booklets, and user manuals upon completion, plus inspection certificates. Builder receives retention funds upon completion. Step 13. Applications, permits, and quotations. Development and operational works approval. Attend a pre-lodgement meeting with your local council prior to lodging applications. Prior to lodging your application with council, liaise with the neighbours again, if you liaised with them in the initial design stage, so that you can update them on the finalised plans prior to lodging with council. Write a personal letter to the council town planner stating your specific requirements for development approval. Lodge a development application for the preliminary design. Submit civil engineering designs for operational works approval, either with the development approval or following development approval, depending on your council process. The council town planner will assess the application in accordance with the town plan's zoning guidelines. If additional information or amendments are required, an information request may be made by council. The application may need to be advertised to the general public or to the immediate neighbours, depending on your council requirements and the level of assessment of your application, for example, code assessable or impact assessable. If your submission is satisfactory, it will be presented before the Town Planning Committee in Council or to a Council meeting, depending on the nature of your application and the particular Council. Development approvals will be issued in writing from the Planning Authority. Understand any terms and conditions that the approval may contain. Council Engineering Development will assess the operational works application, issue an information request, and once satisfied with the designs, will issue an operational works approval. Again, ensure you understand all the conditions. Building and demolition approval. Submit hydraulics plans and construction drawings to council for plumbing approval. Submit design plans to utilities providers, water, sewer, electricity, Telstra, and Main Roads Authority for approval where required. Submit working drawings and full engineering plans, energy efficiency assessment, and all other required documentation to the building certifier or council for building approval. Submit demolition application to council or building certifier for demolition approval or for the approval to move existing dwellings from the site. Where house demolition or removal is to occur, submit applications to relevant authorities for approval to disconnect the services, including electricity, sewer, water, gas. Submit tree removal application with council if required. Quotations. If builder has not already been selected, call for tenders on the construction. Builder is selected from tender applications and a contract is negotiated. For larger projects that require commercial finance, enlist a quantity surveyor to estimate and monitor construction budgets. Ensure tender contracts and documents and quotes don't include any unusual clauses. Update feasibility analysis based on the quotes. Step 14. Implementation of capital works. Civil and building contracts. Call for tenders, quotes, and negotiate a contract with the best one. Obtain copies of contractors' licenses and insurances to ensure that they are qualified to do the works and that they have the relevant insurances and that all documents are current and will remain current for the duration of your project. Conduct searches on the contractor's licenses with the relevant building industry authority in your state to confirm their status and history. For company entities, conduct searches to confirm their history. Ensure that you understand your contract documents thoroughly. Seek legal advice, if necessary, for anything that you are unclear about. Ensure that the name and number on the license matches the contract. Ensure that all plans, specifications, and approvals are all clearly specified in the contract. clarify the terms of progress payments in the contract, if any. Note any cooling off period stated in the contract. Ensure a finance clause is included in the contract if construction is subject to finance approval. Clarify what the builder's insurance will cover. Clarify contract date, commencement and conclusion and your rights. Ensure that the contract has been completed properly and there are no blank spaces. Contracts should clearly state start and finish dates, rates for variations, liquidated damages if the project runs late, a defects liability period, a dispute resolution process, a clear and concise contract price, a list of prime cost allowances. Ensure that any deposits paid are within the legal limits and time frame. Notify in writing when conditional contract clauses are satisfied, for example, finance approval. Notify in writing when the site is being officially handed over to the builder. Ensure that all variations to the plans or specifications are in writing and signed by both parties. Clarify who is responsible for approval applications. Ensure that you have a copy of the approvals, signed contracts, and a certificate of insurance from the building authority in your state prior to work commencement. Ensure you have received and understood the Building Act in your state that regulates the construction works you propose to have done. Confirm contract details for the primary contractors. Demolition and site clearing phase. Demolition of existing structures and site clearing may be part of the builder's contract or may be managed by you directly prior to handing over the site to the builder. Notify neighbours in advance of demolition works. Where possible, have the demolition contractor include in his contract any required asbestos removal and final site clearing. This is so that there is one primary contractor responsible for the site. That way, there are no issues as to who is responsible if any asbestos or debris is missed. Where asbestos removal is involved, ensure that the demolition contractor is using a licensed asbestos removal contractor. Have the asbestos removal company issue a site clearance certificate on completion, ready for site handover to the builder. Construction phase. Arrange with the builder to conduct regular, weekly or fortnightly site meetings with you in order to inspect progress, update on the work schedule, resolve issues, deal with progress payments, claims, etc. Quantity surveyor monitors progress payments during construction for larger projects and where commercial funding is involved. For smaller projects, funded through residential construction finance, the bank's valuer may be the one inspecting the site and monitoring progress payments. Ensure that progress payments reflect work completed on the site. Once the site has been officially handed over to the builder is then in charge of the site. Make sure you always advise the builder when you intend to go on site and when the quantity surveyor or valuer need to attend the site. Ensure all inspections are undertaken as required by the project engineer, council, services and roads authorities at the required stages as per the approval notices. Any comments or concerns should initially be made to the builder and then to the engineer, designer or building certifier if further clarification is required. Record all daily activities and communication in person, phone, email, fax, in a diary throughout the whole construction process. Completion phase. Review all of your approval documents and confirm that every condition has been fulfilled. Builder, engineer, building certifier and consultants carry out final inspections upon completion. Complete a builder's defect list. Reinspection of repaired defects. Builder issues a certificate of practical completion, which is confirmed by the building certifier. Council will inspect the works to ensure it complies with the development and operational works approval. Service providers and other authorities may also be required to inspect the site on completion, for example, Main Roads Authority. As construct plans are produced by the builder, plumber, electrician, engineers and submitted to council. Quantity surveyor produces the final account report. Bank valuer completes the final inspection, and surveyor resurveys the site and prepares a final plan of survey in preparation for titling. Step 15, issuing of title, freehold title. Where the newly created dwellings have been developed to be registered as freehold title, no body corporation needs to be established. For freehold properties, each dwelling is typically supplied with its own direct connection to services. So three units will each have their own connection to the water main, electrical lines and sewer. If these services traverse over the property of another dwelling, an easement needs to be created over the services to give legal access to them. This easement will be created by your solicitor and will be reflected on the final survey plans. Final survey plan documents are prepared by the surveyor showing the newly created freehold lots, including the lot boundaries and areas, any easements and a services location diagram. Strata titling. Where the newly created dwellings are being strata titled, there will be areas of the site that are on individual title, that are common property and that are exclusive use, and these areas need to be shown in the survey plan documents. Final survey plan documents prepared by the surveyor show the newly created lots, title boundaries and areas, exclusive use boundaries and areas, common property boundaries and areas, and services location diagram. A body corporate is set up to manage the site via the community management statement. Either the body corporate manager or your solicitor will set up the body corporate and will prepare the community management statement. Community management statement includes schedule of lot of entitlements for each of the new lots, bylaws that control the management of the property and what the owners and tenants can and cannot do, description of exclusive use areas allocated to each lot, exclusive use area plan showing the exclusive use boundaries and the areas. Sinking fund forecast report and insurance estimate report are prepared by the quantity surveyor, coordinated by the body corporate manager. Annual budget, administration fund and sinking fund schedules are prepared by the body corporate manager and included in the disclosure document if you are selling off the plan and are tabled at the first body corporate meeting. Council, bank and titles department approval of new titles. Survey plan documents are submitted to council for plan sealing, meaning council sign off. Either yourself, your solicitor or your surveyor may coordinate this. If it is being strata titled, the community management statement document also gets lodged with council at plan sealing. Council sealed survey plan documents are sent to your financier, bank, for mortgagee consent. This is because the bank holds the security over the original property that you have now altered. Hence, the bank needs to consent to the changes prior to the titles department cancelling the original title and creating the new titles. Either yourself, your solicitor, or your mortgage broker will coordinate this. If there is no bank involved, this step is skipped. Plan sealed documents, community management documents, and mortgagee consent documents are lodged with the titles department. Titles department review the documentation and, if warranted, issue a non-compliance request that you first need to attend to before new land titles are registered. New land titles are registered and any pre-sale contracts are now able to settle and new sale contracts are able to be entered into under a standard land sale contract arrangement. First body corporate meeting is conducted to adopt the annual budget, etc. Step 16, marketing your development. Prior to marketing your development, visit units and display homes to get ideas for your marketing strategy. Critically examine and photograph other projects. Collect brochures and sales data from other developments. Make up files that include all of this data. Talk to project sales agents and ask for customers' criticisms. Determine price resistance levels. Review recent market values, both sold and currently on the market. Decide on a price range you can offer for each property based on your research. Discuss project with your shortlisted real estate agents and request their feedback on sale price and marketing strategy. Update your feasibility analysis with the proposed sale prices. Prepare marketing plan and organise marketing material. Sales agent selection. Research real estate agents that have experience selling the type of product you are producing in the area you are producing it. Interview the shortlisted agents and have them submit a marketing proposal to you. Call previous clients to confirm the quality of the agent or agents. Confirm the agent's capability to sell off the plan if this is part of your strategy. Engage your preferred agent on a short exclusive period initially in order to assess their capabilities and then extend their contract if they are performing to your satisfaction. Consider using markers to sell your product if required. advertising and marketing costs, sign writers, graphic designer to design branding, signage, prospective artists to create an image of what the development will look like, otherwise known as an artist impression, printers to print brochures or print media for promotion of the development. For larger projects, engage an advertising agency that specialises in real estate promotion. Obtain media costs for advertising in newspapers and online, etc. Keep a record of advertising rates for various sizes. Real estate agents will expect you to pay for your own advertising. Commencement of marketing. Create a pictorial signboard of the development as soon as it commences, using the artist's impressions. List features that will attract buyers based on your due diligence. Create a website for the project if warranted, and commence online marketing with artist impressions. On completion of works, present the property with staging furniture in at least one of the units for sale. Have professional photographs taken, including aerial view photos if appropriate. Update marketing material with the professional photos. Print brochures or other promotional media. Prepare a price list for pre-sales. Make sure you direct ads at your target market and they generate inquiries. Monitor and record responses on marketing so that you know which media is most effective. Record contact details of interested parties so that you can direct market to them in the future. Sales. Get a lawyer to prepare a pre-sales contract and disclosure document so dwellings can be sold off the plan prior to titling. Ensure that any special clauses are included in this contract. A standard real estate sales contract can be used once the development is complete and the title plan is registered. Understand what your sales contracts mean and ask questions if necessary. Ensure that sales contracts are filled out correctly by you and the purchaser. Ensure that the deposit has been banked into the agreed account. Monitor the agent's sale activity. Step 17, accounting and tax. Accounting and tax in general. Enlist the services of a qualified accountant that specialises in real estate. Determine the tax implications prior to beginning your development so that you understand your obligations. Put structures in place to minimise risk and maximise tax benefits. Determine the bank account to be used for carrying out the project. Create a system for filing invoices and recording all payments. Determine the land tax payable, if any, for the area you are looking at. Submit all relevant documentations to your accountant on completion of the project. Income tax. Record all your expenses throughout the development process. Understand your income tax obligations. If income tax is payable, allocate those funds on completion of the project so that you know they are available for when payment is required. Pay income tax when required. GST, goods and services tax. Determine if you need to pay GST and register if necessary. Understand your GST obligations. Get your accountant to calculate the GST and ensure that this money is kept aside. Keep a record of all of your receipts and invoices for GST purposes. Keep a record of all GST paid and received. Lodge your BAS, business activity statements, monthly or quarterly, depending on your cash flow requirements. Following sales of dwellings, pay any GST owing. Step 18. Celebrate your learning and project preview. Celebrate your learning and profit. At key milestones throughout the project, remember to celebrate your successes. On completion of the project, make time to celebrate your achievements, not only monetary, but also the learning that you had, the experience that you gained, and the personal development that you experienced. Project review. On completion of the project, undertake a review. Complete an actual feasibility of the project, detailing the actual costs, income, and profit margin. List down your learnings, what worked, what didn't work, and what you would do differently next time, how you could improve. Add the project learnings to your master checklist for this strategy so that you are continually improving on your process. 3. Strata titling. The strategy of strata titling an existing building involves dividing it into smaller components and creating a separate title on each. For example, it may be a block of units, all on one freehold title, that you are splitting into individual units on separate strata title. Or maybe it's a commercial building or industrial sheds on one freehold title that are being divided into individual commercial spaces or industrial sheds and strata titled. Regardless of the type of building, the process is very similar, including confirming council approval of the existing structure, ensuring building code requirements are met, such as fire separation, and then finally creating the separate titles. For the purpose of the checklist below, a block of units is being used as the example. Remember that the process and terminology may vary somewhat between different councils, so modify the checklist below accordingly. The real deal strata titling example that is going to be used throughout the checklist is a block of two units. It highlights many of the issues raised below, it covers all of the required stages, and will give you a great real-life snapshot of doing a strata titling project. Step 1. Location research. Identify locations of interest based on your personal circumstances. Detail your personal circumstances, including what is your available equity, borrowing capacity, and serviceability. What is your time availability? How far are you prepared to travel? Is your strategy to hold or sell? What is your level of experience? What is your risk profile? Based on your personal circumstances, determine what type of region you are targeting, including mining and resource areas, regional areas, or metro areas. Review on a map and list all the locations that meet your personal circumstances and region type. For example, regional area within a distance that you are prepared to travel to, within your risk profile, at a price point that meets your budget, etc. Narrow this down to the top 5 locations of interest that meet your criteria. Research locations of interest and shortlist 3 target locations. For each of the 5 locations above, research their specific characteristics, including population size, infrastructure spending, supply and demand, rental vacancy rate, council's attitude to development. Based on the above research, shortlist the top 3 target locations that meet your personal circumstances. These might be 3 suburbs or 3 regional towns. For each of your 3 target locations, research the population growth, demographics, and forward projections, and educate yourself about the area and the real estate industry in general. Set up a spreadsheet with area information for easy reference, including maps, research results, research sources, contact details, etc. Step 2. Strategy research, property identification, mapping, and prioritisation. Strategy research and property identification. For each of your 3 target locations, educate yourself on what the market wants, where it wants it, why, and does this fit your chosen strategy, for example, strata titling. Research and visit other strata titled unit blocks in those locations. Learn from them and record characteristics and features, prices, marketing strategies, marketing material, consultants involved, etc. For each of the target locations, use search terms to identify potential properties on the internet or to talk to real estate agents or locals, for example, unit blocks, X number of bedrooms, Y number of bathrooms, single title, one title, etc. Mapping. Map the location of potential unit blocks. Use aerial photographs to identify other potential unit blocks in your locations, but not yet on the market. Research the infrastructure, amenities, schools, transport, etc. of relevance and highlight them on your map. Research changes in infrastructure planned for the future and depict on the map. Grid variance analysis. If your research above has identified too many properties for you to individually research, grid variance analysis is a good method to be able to prioritise the areas. Research the price ranges, low, medium and high, of the areas where the properties are located. Do grid variance analysis comparing the low to the mid of the market in each area. Prioritise the areas from highest to lowest grid variance analysis in order to narrow down your target list of potential unit blocks to further research. Search and data facilities. PD Online, Google, Google Maps, Google Earth. Real estate websites, regional councils, newspapers and real estate brochures, real estate agents, talking with locals, letterbox drops, door knocking. Step 3. Requirements, due diligence. council requirements. For each of the unit blocks on your prioritised target list, determine the council's requirement and process to be able to strata title an existing property. Does the council require you to only meet the Building Code of Australia, or does it require you to also meet certain town planning requirements or even bring the development up to current town planning code? There is likely to be a conversation with both the council building department and town planning department, because sometimes neither are quite sure who is responsible. Some councils are now making you bring the development up to current town planning code, which may mean you need to comply with such things as overland water flow, flooding, stormwater management, car parking including visitor parking, driveway widths and construction, footpaths, private open space, etc. Use this information to inform your specific property due diligence when you inspect the property so that you know what you are looking for. Building certifier requirements. For each of the unit blocks on your target list, consult with a local building certifier to determine the requirements and process to be able to strata title an existing property in that location. For example, fire separation, walls, floors, car parking, individually metered services, disability access, windows and doors, stairs, etc., communal areas. Use this information to inform your specific property due diligence when you inspect the property so that you know what you are looking for. Surveyor requirements. Consult with a local licensed surveyor to determine the requirements and process to be able to strata title an existing property in that location. Use this information to inform your specific property due diligence when you inspect the property so that you know what you are looking for. Step 4. Specific property due diligence. Undertake detailed due diligence on the individual properties of interest to confirm their strata titling potential, including potential opportunities and constraints. Confirm with council that the property is council approved as a block of multiple units on the one title. Confirm the number of units approved, the number of bedrooms per unit, their configuration, the age of the development approval, and that it is council approved for its current use. Use a builder or building certifier to assist you during your property inspections to undertake the required due diligence and to determine what specific works may be required to the property to comply with all requirements. Determine the property's compliance with the building code and surveyor requirements and determine what works may need to be completed. For example, presence of existing fire separation between units, including in between the walls and the floors, presence of fire separation between units and car parks, presence of penetrating services, for example, plumbing and electrical, running between units but without the necessary fire collars, position of existing stairs, window openings and car parking, existence of separately metered services, capacity to comply with disability requirements, if applicable. Research the property's compliance with any current town planning requirements that may need to be fulfilled, and detail any works that may be needed to be able to comply. Flooding, waterways, overland flow, bushfire prone, cultural heritage, demolition control, slope, private open space, driveway access and footpaths. Research the property's potential to be further developed, including capacity to reconfigure units and add bedrooms, capacity to split units into smaller units, existence of vacant land to further develop. Research the general property due diligence items below in the early stages of reviewing target properties. These items may, however, need to be revisited and further researched in greater detail during the conditional period of the contract. Illegal building works on the site, structure not council approved. Structures not built to the Australian Building Code, including built form, smoke alarms, safety switches, pool safety. Usage of structures not council approved, for example, converted garage, multiple incomes, granny flat. Renovation works not council approved. Not done to the building code or not done by appropriately licensed or qualified person. Condition of existing property, termite damage, dry rot, concrete cancer, rising damp, asbestos, cracking walls and foundation. Research site-specific constraints, including significant trees, soil type, swelling and cracking clays, contaminated site, easements, sewer, power, access ways, encroachments, survey site, covenants, caveat or other encumbrances, notation on registered survey plan, neighbour disputes, council show cause notices, heritage listed buildings, above ground infrastructure at the front of the property, power poles, road signs, general signage, bus stops, traffic lights, roundabouts, fire hydrants, public mailboxes, car parks, parking meters, substations, underground infrastructure, manholes, disused septic tanks, buried water tanks, Telstra pits, capacity of services and capacity to individually meter electricity, water, gas, etc. Shared services between neighbouring properties, for example, combined sewer drain. Adjoining properties and structures next to the boundary. Zero lot alignment, windows, doors, balconies, verandas, private open space location, heights above two-storey, higher density units, apartments, commercial, etc. Road hierarchy. Class of the road, street and who manages it. Visibility, access restrictions, capacity for bins out front, current plans and future plans re-resumption, plan changes re-traffic flow, intensity of traffic, on-street parking, changes to surrounding streets that may impact on yours. Noise pollution, road, flight path, industry, birds and bats, etc. Air pollution, road, industry. Subsidence, underground mining and earthworks. Cyclone rating requirements for new build. Body corp review if a body corp exists. Earthquake, tsunami, sea level rise and crime rate. Note that some of the site-specific constraints may not be fully researched until later in your due diligence, once you know there is potential profit in the deal and that you are wanting to put a contract on it. At that point, while the contract is in its conditional phase, may be the time that you do more thorough research on some of these less obvious constraints. Use the various tools for researching individual properties, including council and council website, PD Online, RP Data, PDS Live, Investar, Internet, Town Planners, Locals and Neighbours, Builder, Building Certifier, Surveyor, Plumber and Electrician. Step 5. Your A team, the initial team. Building Certifier, Town Planner, Land Surveyor, Builder, Building and Pest Inspector, Lawyer that specialises in property, Money Lender or Broker, Tradespeople including Plumber and Electrician, Building Designer, Real Estate Agent, Purchasing Agent, Sales Agent, Marketers if you are planning to sell, Property Manager if you are planning to rent or sell to an investor, Valuer. The subsequent team. Specialist consultants, for example, traffic, heritage, cultural heritage, acoustic, bushfire. Interior designer or colour consultant. Graphic artist, advertising agency, body corporate manager, quantity surveyor, body corp sinking fund forecast and insurance forecast, insurance broker. Staging consultant, depreciation specialist, quantity surveyor, if renting, end product or sell to an investor. The individuals. Look for individuals that specialise in strata titling. Ask for references or examples of their work and clients. Ask for a schedule of their fees and charges. Discuss the range of services that you will require from each individual. Ensure that professionals are members of professional associations where relevant, for example, a building association, law society, Institute of Quantity Surveyors, etc. Ensure professionals are completely familiar with local and state regulations. Ensure all professionals have the necessary insurances and certification and request copies to ensure they are current over the duration of your project. Ensure that they are in touch with the latest laws, innovations and developments within the industry. Ask what sub-consultants and contractors they use. Ensure the individuals on your A-team understand your time constraints and check on the progress of individuals to keep them on target. Step 6. Draft scope of works. Works to strata title. For each of the target sites that comply with your strategy and that your due diligence looks favourable to be able to strata title, summarise the works that must be completed to undertake strata titling. For example, fire separation to walls, floors, ceilings, services penetration works, services metering works, fencing works, driveway footpath works, works to renovate, List all renovation works proposed to the building exterior, for example, roof, gutters, downpipes, windows and doors, painting, rendering, bagging, lighting, stairs, veranda, balcony, patio, pergola, balustrade, carports, garage, aerial. Make good the repairs. List all renovation works proposed to the building interior, for example, kitchen, bathroom, laundry, painting, floor coverings, wall coverings, lighting, fans, air conditioning, heating, electrical, robes, doors and doors handles, and make good the repairs. List all landscaping and site works, for example, gardens, turf, garden edging, retaining walls, garden shed, driveway, paths, fencing and gates, drainage works, irrigation, letterboxes, clotheslines, car parks, frontage works, council verge. Step 7, feasibility analysis. Initial rough feasibility. Research the cost to purchase the property. Research the cost to complete the strategy. Research the market value of the end product, rental and sale. Research the demand of the end product, rental and sale. Research the various exit strategies. Research and create a realistic timeline of the entire project, including approvals phase, financing phase, works and renovation phase, titling phase, sales phase, etc. Complete rough feasibilities on the various options to do the deal and the various exit strategies. Complete due diligence on your capacity to finance the various strategies. For those properties where your initial due diligence and rough feasibility looks promising, undertake a detailed feasibility. If you are having trouble getting your rough feasibilities to stack up, consider completing reverse engineered feasibilities on similar completed projects in your area to better understand the numbers and what they need to be to make a deal profitable. Detailed feasibility. Prepare numerous feasibility studies with varying options prior to committing to purchase a deal. Always enter full amounts in costings, not potential discounted prices. Calculate legal fees and establishment cost, as well as any duties or taxes. Calculate expected sales income and balance it against the expected return. There is no specific target profit level for a strata titling deal, although 20% profit on cost is a great target. Do not be surprised, though, if it is less, given that the building already exists. You have to determine, therefore, what profit you are prepared to accept for the cost, time, risk, and management required. Visit other strata title deals and analyse their data, unit price, rent, location, buyer profile, etc. Talk to real estate agents in your area. Make timelines realistic. Allow for inclement weather, financing delay, building and renovation delay, delay in sales, and unforeseen hold-ups. Estimate timeframes for how long it will take to gain any returns. If your feasibility studies show that your project is not financially viable, review the costings with your consultants, builder, and sales agents. If it is still not viable, do not proceed. Continually update and review your detailed feasibility as your costs are updated with each new quote and as more information comes to light. Assess the tax implications of your project, for example, GST, capital gains tax, income tax, and land tax. Purchasing, finance fees, and charges and hold costs. Property purchase cost. Due diligence costs. Building and pest. Builder and building certifiers assessment. Specialist reports. Conveyancing and title search fees. Stamp duty. These vary from state to state. Legal fees and miscellaneous legal fees. Company establishment fees. Buyer's agent's fees. Commission, if applicable. Council rates and local authority fees or adjustments. Valuation or appraisal fees by the lender. Accountancy fees. Interest on finance. Insurances. Property management fees if tenanted. And general site maintenance, for example, mowing and repairs.